I've got a cup of salt water. It's going to taste worse if I, you know, let the water evaporate. It's going to concentrate into right. a less delicious, even more gross cup of salt water. But if I take a gallon of fresh water and add it, addition, guess what? It becomes tolerable.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am your host, Kyle, and today I've invited Sean Sawyer of Sound Performance Psychology back. Now, Sean, I saw you're getting set to host a six-week workshop, and after I was looking at the syllabus that you posted, I really wanted to get you on to talk about a couple of these concepts, in particular, the internal war room and discomfort as data. Like, those two just really kind of speak to me for some reason. So really looking forward to kind of chatting to you about like what you got planned for this upcoming workshop.
Cool. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me back. And, those are two of my favorite weeks. Those are towards are the end of the workshop. Yeah.
What else do you have planned for? Do you want to just, tell us about what, like, when is it? When, how can people sign up if they want to join, get all that promotion stuff out of the way?
Yeah, sure. Soundperformancepsychology.com group coach. It's under the tab of group coaching. It starts 2 weeks.
I think it was the 22nd that was on?
A week from Sunday. The week after, the Sunday after Father's Day. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. You know, much like when you learn trading, you got to understand, you got to learn something about markets. You have to learn something about, you know, what trading is, auction, the, all that stuff, the fundamentals. And I start there with psychology too. Like I think that, one, there's a lot of schools of thought in psychology. A lot of them are hoo-ha, by the way.
Yes.
It's not the science is only 150 years old. And, you know, there's been a lot of mistakes. Up until the 90s, we were doing a lot of stuff wrong. And, and you know, in 50 years, who knows what we'll say now. But I teach people the kind of evidence-based stuff. I give everybody a personality assessment and give them the results privately in the second week so that they now have a template or areas to look for and focus on for the rest of the group and apply the things I teach for the rest of the group workshop. I use those words interchangeably, and apply that to their specific issues. So it's customized from week one. You know, you get this assessment. It's a legit assessment. It's a type of assessment I've been doing for almost, you know, I've been a therapist 22 years. I've been doing that assessment for like 18 of them.
So like one of those Myers-Briggs type things or?
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, it's like the Myers-Briggs. So you can apply this stuff to your own specific issues without totally spilling your guts in the workshop. And, you know, some people are a little more open, some people aren't. Traders tend to vary, so I make it pretty flexible.
Sean, I'm gonna stop you from clapping there. That's going to be hard to take out of the track.
Sorry.
That's cool.
That's funny. It must have come out really loud when I'm...
when you're right in front of the mic, it does.
what was I saying? Let me back up.
Oh, we're talking about the assessment and the customized nature from week one on.
Yeah. So you have some things to be paying attention to.
So it doesn't all have to be in group. You don't have to be participating.
No, in fact, there's a fair amount of homework.
my favorite.
I was accused of a little too much homework at one point. So, I have scaled it back a tiny bit, but you know, it's work and you know, just like with trading, you know, people are willing to stare at charts and draw lines and all this stuff that, you know, they're willing to put so much time into that. Yeah. I gotta stare at charts. I'm grinding on Saturday. You know, you see these ridiculous tweets.
Putting in the work.
And it's just like, well, maybe you should be living your life on Saturday so you can trade better on Monday. But.
Well, see, I think that's the first step of getting into trading is you go through that obsessed portion. And that's when you go through like the supercharged learning. You expose yourself to as much new stuff as you can. You're trying to figure out what you like, right, during that period of time.
And that is what I'm trying to mimic with this workshop. I mean, I'm asking people to dive in. You know, I usually ask them to slow down their trading a bit, at least a bit during the workshop. The stuff, you know, I teach the real purpose of the workshop is to have a trading psychology plan instead of just a trading plan. Cause that's right. The whole, you know, Mike Tyson, everyone's got a plan until they're punched in the face. Yeah, that's true. So let's make a plan for when you're punched in the face. And that's kind of where I started with the workshop in my head.
I love that you say that too, cause that's something that's been featuring much more prominently in my trading over the last probably 2-3 months. Is having a plan for what I'm going to do. Because that's what I found most of my fear is coming from. Is the fear is stemming from, I think, how am I going to react when something goes wrong? So what I've been doing is just giving myself like, I don't know, conditions or goalposts or metrics or things to watch for. Like if I take 2 losses, then that's it. We'll go to another day. That's fine. I don't need to take any more than that. Like things like that, like things that I can say like, okay, this play, I'm not going to react poorly because now I know what I'm going to do. If I take 2 losses, my day's over. Right.
Right. I mean, and if you can, so you take that plan.
Yeah.
If you can execute that plan, fantastic. If you can't.
6 months ago, me was having problems. Yes.
Yeah. Then, you know, this is where the workshop comes in because.
Yeah.
Another part of it is to make it real, to make it very conscious of when you're violating your own values,
right?
You know, the life that you're trying to build, and really bringing that into consciousness in your day to affect decision making. So,
well, and my path towards that recognition of needing to like put in like certain things to say that if this happens, then this is how I'm going to end the day. I think that kind of stems from what you got planned in week four, which is the internal war room.
Yes, sir.
I have been noticing voices through some of the parts work that I've been doing. I've been trying to give them like personas and like get to know who they are. But I've been very much noticing there is an impulsive one. There's a professional one, just like you have kind of detailed in your notes here, that tries to take control. Like there's one that wants me to click now. And there's another guy that's like, nah, wait for a pullback. Or don't do that. That's impulsive.
Yep.
And I think the biggest fight was trying to figure out who they are. Understanding that there's a difference between the two, I think, was huge. But now that's kind of where I'm stuck at right now. I've kind of figured out that there's a difference between the two, but I don't know how to choose who's going to be dictating. I just know to run away when I know the wrong one is in charge.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're talking Schwartz's model, basically.
Is that what that is?
I think so. I believe you're talking. You're talking Eternal Family Systems.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know the fancy names because.
Isn't that Schwartz who wrote all that?
It very well could be.
I can't remember. So IFS Eternal Family Systems. That's a good model.
Yeah.
It is. I will say it is traditionally for people with a lot of dissociation issues with a heavy amount of trauma.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not applicable universally, but it really was written for people that are very, very ill with attachment disorders or PTSD and severe like torture level trauma.
Wow. Okay.
And that's just who it's created for. Now EMDR was created for, you know, straight up shock traumas too. And now, right. I mean, dude, I use it for traumas of losses and trading big or small. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't mean it's just for that, but that's important to keep in mind for what I'm about to say.
Okay.
So if you can label, what are they called? ENPs or AMPs? I can't remember.
Oh God. You don't.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So whatever, you impulsive guy, not impulsive guy. That's what I have in place of that is here are the results of this personality assessment. And they assess something called schemas. And I have people paying attention to those in that same persona like way.
Can we
sacrificer? Here's the impulsive kid. Here's the punitive part. Here's the alienated, lonely part. Because all that shit comes up trading. It just does. Because you're a right. human being and you're sitting in your house and it's your retail. Most people are listening are probably retail traders or screen traders, whatever you want to call it. And it's a completely different thing. And you have to be ready for whatever. So the work you're doing is similar. You need to start paying attention. When does this stuff come up every day? What does it feel like? What does it think like? I like to tell people, you know, imagine yourself. What's impulsive you look like versus professional you? If impulsive, a question I've asked 1,000 times in my career, probably 5,000, is if impulsive you or fill in the blank you walked into the room right now, how would I tell them apart? How would I tell you and him apart?
Right, right.
And that answer is really powerful.
Yeah.
Because when you can do that, then you start to have choices. And when you have choices, you can start executing them. People don't have choices most of the time because, you know, impulsivity takes over. They're not aware of their issues. They're not aware of their parts. And the way you're talking about, they're not aware of their parts. The way I'm talking about, they're not aware of their schemas. They're extremely similar concepts. And until you're aware, until you start to feel like, oh, God, here comes the impulsive side, or, you know, I'm feeling really self-critical today or whatever. Right, or I'm noticing thoughts that are very self-critical today, and you know the shame, the feeling would probably be shame or something. Mm-hmm. Until you can do that, you know, I think you're in trouble with trading, because so let's say impulsive you is running the show, or shame you, or shame, everyone's got a shame-filled side, you know, is running the show and it's choppy. You're going to destroy yourself.
Yes, yes.
Period. Mm-hmm. And it's in my opinion, it's not so much about like learn how to trade chop. It's learn not to trade. It's learn what your talents are and what they are not. A thing I say a lot of people that they don't necessarily like is, you know, don't trade what's beyond your talent. Trading's not easy.
Not a scalper. I can't.
Yeah. Yes. If you're not a scalper, don't freaking scalp.
Right. I'm not the guy who's going to be in and out 20 times a day. That just destroys my mentality. I can't do that. I can't be wrong that many times a day.
That's a great insight on yourself,
right?
And that's okay. Like, so on one hand, on one angle, some psychology, some interventions might be like, we want to change that about you,
right?
However, yeah. Depending on where it's rooted, which I will expose on week one with the assessment, depending on where it's rooted, you're not going to change it. You just have to work with it.
For me, that's a core value.
Yeah.
Right. So like that is something that I have to work with. I can't overwrite that without fundamentally changing who I am as a person. I don't want to do that either.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, that's like the old, you know thyself. They, you know, you see kind of these grizzled old traders make references like that all the time, how much they've discovered about themselves and their lives and yada, yada. Which is great, but you know what? Let's make it less than 20 years of pain, because they all have terrible stories. Every one of them was a millionaire and then was broke and was a millionaire again. I mean, that's right, like the most dime a dozen story you hear on FinTwit.
Even Jesse Livermore in Reminiscences of the Stock Operator did the same thing.
Fantastic example of terrible trading psychology that is celebrated. It blows me away. Mm-hmm. Man killed himself. He went bankrupt multiple times. He was terrible with trading psychology.
Yeah. No, but I do love the idea of what you mentioned when it comes to building like this awareness of these internal pieces of yourself, is the visual element. I think that was something that I completely skipped over and never even like occurred to me to try to put a visual element to who these parts of me are, these internal parts. The idea of like who my, it's way easier than trying to like visualize. How does this person think? How does this person talk? How does this person act? It's way simpler to picture frazzled me popping up out of bed, frantically clicking buttons.
Yep. Think back to high school, biology class.
Yeah.
Putting shit under a microscope.
Yeah, but shit. I also got rewarded for that in high school because I used to do most of my homework like during the morning announcements. Like, how is that for impulsive?
Oh, I got a good story about high school and homework, but. My point is, biology class, you put a slide under the microscope. Remember how you had to stain some of them?
Mm.
That's what this is. Staining it so you can see it.
Yeah, makes it stand out from the rest. Yep.
Correct. You have to conceptualize it, then operationalize it.
Then dominate it. No, I'm just kidding.
That's what one of these heathens with no education, it's read 5 self-help books that has 100,000 followers. That's something they would say because they're fucking idiots. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
It drives me nuts seeing people posting things about controlling your emotions. And even I can't remember. It's something like pretty big publication. Somebody posted something along those or put that out there. I was like, what? Why is this in like this trading thing? Like you're supposed to be like, this is supposed to be your thing. And you're talking about controlling emotions.
I think trading psychology is criminally backwards.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of people that are really educated in it. And they're good. I mean, the Denise Schulls of the world and the, what's his name?
Rich Friesen?
Steinberger. Rich Friesen. I think Rich Friesen
he's retiring, unfortunately.
And I would guess Rich Friesen hasn't been as popular because, frankly, he's right. He's more accurate. He's better. He's better at most people in this. He doesn't sell bullshit. He doesn't like.
Well, that's why I didn't understand any of the family system values questions when you asked me them, because I learned it from Rich. He doesn't use any of the same terms.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, his work, from what I know of his work, he's clearly a professional. He's an actual psychologist, psychotherapist, whatever he is. I don't know the credentials, but clearly he is one. And there's only a handful. And I think trading psychology is criminally backward. Like it's so dated. So much of it is using, so much trading psychology is based on old psych. It's based on old behaviorism that we know now makes you worse.
Yeah.
Now they did it very routinely up through the 90s. And a lot of the quote unquote classic books were written before that. And I'm not saying to not read the classic book.
But,
you know, do you want to read historical fiction or do you want to read history when it comes to?
We don't take morality lessons from like Huck Finn and things like that, too. So, like, yeah. Things change over years.
Oh my God, that's very well put. correct. And I don't know where else I'm going to go with that.
I forgot to, but I think we kind of covered the point. Basically, there's a lot of backward psychology, a lot of old ways.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of old stuff. And the old stuff is sort of the tragic part because so many traders are going to be made work. Like the classic, the problem is with most older psychology is that it works very well short term and makes you worse long term. So people read some book that's rooted in bad psych, which a lot of them are, and they're going to notice a bump and then they're not going to notice why they're worse. And it's because of what they're doing. If you're doing anything where you're fighting anything, where you're challenging anything, challenging thoughts, challenging beliefs.
Yeah.
you know, burn that book and you know, talk to, you don't even have to get a trading psychology person, just get a competent psychology person in your life.
The idea of challenging the thoughts, what is the, can you explain maybe the reasoning why that's such a bad thing to do?
Neurobiologically, there is proof that if I have the thought, I am a jerk, and most psychology, or I'm a bad trader, let's keep it, you know, I suck at this.
Whatever. Yeah, it took my stop. I'm a loser. I'm a loser because I hit my stop. That happens.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of psychology would have you reframe that with positives about yourself. Would have you think about times where you succeeded, or time, or like challenge the thought, challenge the belief. I'm not a loser because here's all my evidence. So you like, that's like the quote unquote work you do. So because of what we now know about linguistics and psychology, which is the whole crux of the issue I was talking about, where psychology went sideways for a good solid 20 years. Mm-hmm. We now know that the thing you challenge the negative thought with will get wired neurobiologically with the negative thought, and the positives will just trigger the negative.
Wow.
This so becomes a switch to turn it on.
You're just wiring the bad thought to the good thought.
You are wiring it deeper.
Right.
And there are so many people, and some that I really respect, that will fight me on that. And it's just like, dude, why haven't you read a book in 20 years?
I think we might have talked about.
There's a mountain of evidence, 1983, about what I'm talking about. A fucking mountain of evidence on what I'm talking about. And people don't buy it. And people are like, no, we're going to read this book dated, you know, that's so old. It's, you know, it's like putting knob and tube wiring in your house you just built. Right. Like, what the hell are you thinking? You're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And it's fundamental. It's core. It's the fucking nervous system of your house, right? And it's knob and tube. What? But that's what people are doing with bad traits.
Well, I'm going to apologize for any time I've talked about challenging bad thoughts, because I'm pretty sure I've done that in the last 5 years that this program has been running.
Well, that's the thing. It's
such an easy thing to stumble upon. And it seems that like you said, you get some reward out of it initially.
Short run.
Right.
It really does. But then they show how it makes people worse in the long run.
Yeah.
And everyone gets a bump, you know, when they first.
Anything new, really.
History isn't just boring names and dates. It's weird, messy, and full of what-were-they-thinking moments. The Buck Starts Here dives into the financial fiascos, questionable deals, and outright chaos that helped build America, $1 at a time. We mix in serious history from a fresh perspective. Real, deep dives into the numbers and the moments that shaped the country, without the boring lecture. From presidential blunders to almost states, and the time an international war almost started over a pig, we break down the key events that made, and nearly broke, the nation. It's the fascinating untold history you won't find in the textbooks. Subscribe to the Buck Starts Here podcast for a deeper look at presidential history that's anything but dull.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Sorry?
Anytime you're trying something new, you get a bump out of that just because it's something new anyway, right?
Well, with trading, I think the danger is hope.
Yeah.
Everything new gives you hope. You got your new guru. You got your new trade site. You got your new system. You got your new software, whatever.
Your setup,
your blah, blah, blah. You know, you met someone who makes all this money, and I can't believe it. You know how many times I hear, my guy, he makes all this money every day. And I'm just like, I doubt it.
Have you seen the receipts?
Yeah, exactly. Unless he's showing you statements, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And some guys do nowadays. There's a few that do, which is impressive as hell. Lost train of thought.
I did too. fuck, what were we talking about there?
Laura's going to hate us.
Well, shit, maybe we should move on to the next one on here then. The idea of discomfort being data. There's a lot of the work that I've noticed that comes from psychology tends to make you uncomfortable with the questions that you have to ask and some of the things that you have to acknowledge and accept.
Yes.
So talk to me about what does that mean, that whole idea that discomfort is data?
Everything you experience in your nervous system as you're trading is data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this candle makes me want to chase.
Yeah.
You know, this setup makes me excited, whatever. Like, those are the things that we will usually pay attention to, or the things that make us feel good. Versus we want to disregard the things that make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's why we doom scroll these days. You know, that's why we don't watch the news sometimes. You know, we generally speaking, the data we want to take in is the positive. And I think with trading, that's particularly dangerous.
Yeah.
Because the positive data with trading is usually pretty extreme, and it's almost always outcome driven.
Yes.
And that's a huge problem.
Yes.
So discomfort. If you're resisting discomfort, that you need to write it down the second you start doing that. And now that's not an easy task. Now, and I want to put it in context of this workshop. This is 5 weeks into the workshop.
Yes. You know, four
sessions. This is 3 hours plus the homework. It's not
day one stuff here.
No, because you have to have some skill with practicing mindfulness. You have to have some skill with self-regulation. You have to have some insight into your issues.
Yes.
Because those are the things that are going to be tied into the discomfort. So anything you resist that is willfulness, anything you resist is willfulness. And discomfort's the thing that we kind of resist the most.
Yeah.
Example, discomfort could just be something simple like boredom, and you take a trade because you're bored.
Mm-hmm.
That is data.
Resisting boredom. Interesting. I never thought of that.
That is resisting. That's what a ton of us do.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, I do it all. I used to do it a lot. I've gotten a lot better at that.
And we get uncomfortable with patience, sitting and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get uncomfortable with
having to make a decision sometimes, maybe?
Sometimes it's making the decision. Sometimes it's waiting for the setup. Like, sometimes it is, you know, there's the classic one I've seen lately, holding on to trades, holding on to a good trade.
Mm-hmm.
it gets uncomfortable because whatever your brain is telling you, and that's going to be different based on, you know, week one's information.
Right.
If you do this workshop. So holding on to a trait is uncomfortable. You might think that you're going to give it back. You might think that you should take it. You might think
you're going to regret what happens if you let it go or get out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reality is, most time those are all stories your brain's telling you. And you have to work on the relationship with discomfort, the relationship with the bullshit your brain feeds you. Because our brains do feed us a lot of BS based on our past experience and stuff.
But how do you do that in a way that's not challenging, like the way you cautioned us against doing that? When I have a thought come up that doesn't serve me, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, like, how do I put some distance between that thought, or how do I keep that thought from affecting me in a bad way?
Give me an example of a thought.
Let's see. I just took a stop and now I'm feeling like I'm not a good trader because I'm not making money. I took a loss. The thought is good traders don't lose.
I'm noticing the thought that good traders don't lose, and that probably isn't serving my values. I'm noticing my mind is telling me the thought that good traders don't lose.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that exercise doing? Because I've been utilizing that after stumbling upon your Discord, and I love the exercise, but how does this actually like working? Like, what is the science behind it, I guess?
The science behind it is learning by addition, not subtraction. You don't learn by taking things away. That's the fundamental flaw with what I was talking about earlier about old shitty psychology that all these old books are written on. They're written on that concept. Take things away to get better. That's not how humans work.
Right.
Name one thing that applies. It doesn't apply. And psychology got all fucking arrogant in the 70s and 60s with these old fucking crusty dudes thinking they're geniuses.
Is that an alarm going off?
Oh God, that's my tick alert. I have the one alert on my system is when the tick breaks 700. Let me shut off TradingView. I like having the tick squelch in my ear.
Yeah.
Old habit. That's why this whole psychology is crappy. We don't learn by taking things away. You learn by taking in more information, such as what is 2 + 2, you
know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Times tables. Like look how education works.
Yeah, we build
upon. Look how you teach your children. Look how they, you build upon things. You don't take them away. You'll be like, no, 2 + 2 is not 4 anymore. Get that out of your head. You've been thinking 2 + 2 is 4 since you were, but that's the logic of this old psychology. Are you fucking kidding me? You think you're going to unlearn that?
Yeah, if someone thinks the world is flat, you're not going to convince them to unlearn everything they've learned about. You got to give them something they can use to incorporate that and to change their worldview with the new data they've been incorporated.
See if we get retweeted by some flat earthers.
Right. There's still the one people I think you can still make fun of without getting in trouble.
Yeah, probably. Probably. You learn by addition. So that thought you mentioned, I added to it. I'm noticing the thought that I'm noticing my mind is telling me.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I add the thing at the end. This doesn't serve my interest or my values.
That was a new one. I hadn't heard that one from you before.
Yeah, that's part of the 4-step process that I teach in the workshop too, is to really be mindful of values, what drives you, your purpose, all that kind of stuff. Because I have people use that kind of as their risk manager, because we don't have risk managers when we're at home, not real ones anyways, like they do in the business, and we need it. Yeah. I mean, the pros I work with, like the guys that are in, except for a few, like I work with. When I say pro, like I work with two actual physical prop traders, not the online thing. And, a couple of Wall Street guys, one retired. And like, I never talk to them about risk management because they just do it.
Right. Right.
And they just do. it's us that needs to work on that stuff. And this is a way to do it.
Well,
they have a lot of pressure built in that we don't. They have consequences built in that we don't.
When they started, didn't they also probably spend like the first month of their career learning how to do risk management and nothing else?
Yeah.
Enter, exit.
Yes.
Not even caring about the P&L. Just be break even after 50 trades. Like that's the exercise.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different models, but yeah, that's that is certainly a common one.
I don't think that retail, I don't think I ever spent that much time practicing risk management.
Nope. I mean, who practices being mindful
right.
about their values to create an internal risk manager that it starts to bother you when you trade like an idiot right. versus gives you a thrill?
Yeah.
And again, that's learning by addition.
Mm-hmm.
You're adding more in there. You know, if I've got a cup of salt water, it's going to taste worse if I, you know, let the water evaporate. It's going to concentrate right. into a less delicious, even more gross cup of salt water. But if I take a gallon of fresh water and add it, addition, guess what? It becomes tolerable. It doesn't become delicious, but it becomes tolerable. Because if it's one part water to 10 versus one part water to 100, which do you want to drink?
Yeah, exactly.
And because the salt, our issues, our whatever, they're not necessarily going to go away. You can reduce them. Mm-hmm. You can change how you relate to them. You can change how that you can not be their servant anymore.
What about their friend?
But you're not going to work with them. And the goal is to more be their friend. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. I think we've talked a little bit about that idea in past episodes we've done with you. Like, hello, fear, my old friend.
Exactly. Because fear is your friend, because if you didn't have fear, you wouldn't be alive to hear this podcast right now. You would have died a long time
right.
ago. Yeah, people don't get that. I just saw someone's got some, actually, I don't want to get specific, but like fear, getting rid of fear is a big pitch on some people's stuff. And it's just like, clearly you lack a serious education because you need fear. And to teach that, you're not going to remove fear, and you don't want to. Do you want to be fearless trading?
Probably
people
not.
Might say that. They might, you know, they might say that as they're injecting themselves with some fucking testosterone or a steroid, but that's not what you fucking want.
I've traded fearlessly.
You know,
fearlessly
what, you know what fear manifested is in trading the most common way? Stops.
What do you mean?
Do you not?
How do you mean? I'm sorry.
The stops?
Like as you remove them and get rid of them kind of thing?
No, or? Having them is fear.
Oh.
You need fear.
Yes.
You need stops.
Yes, they protect
you. It's absurd.
Yes.
These clowns. I'm coming across like such a dick. It is absurd, and it's unfortunate to the trader that there's these uneducated charlatans teaching things like that.
Right.
Why would you not want fear? Are you effing kidding me?
I get why
Joe Blow doesn't get that, but I'm a fucking professional, and there's some more of us out there. You need fear, dude. You need it to live.
I really liked what Mandy, when I had her on. SPX trader, she was
she's like Australian or something.
She's Australian but German. It's kind of wild.
Oh,
actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know she worked. Right. I know she's on European time. Yeah. I've seen her. She's got a good Twitter.
But when she was on, we were talking about fear, and like I think she was talking about like a lot of the clients that she'd worked with. When she sees their trading plan, she's like, "You should kiss that fear because it has saved you from losing a bunch of money on this bad plan that you've put together." And that makes me wonder how long I've been fighting this. Fighting, quote unquote, fear that's probably been saving me from blowing out accounts.
Yeah. I don't know much about her, but I agree with her on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really well put.
Right.
I see, you know, traders are so hard on themselves about stuff. Now, given I recognize that because I am hard on myself about things too, but not so much about trading.
No?
No. And it's because it cost me too much money.
Yeah.
To be punitive with myself. Trading cost me too much money. So the fear thing, you need it. You don't need it to dominate you. You don't need to be fear servant, but you need to be fierce friend.
Fierce friend.
And honor it the way it's protected you your whole life. Why would you get rid of it for this one? You're going to trade and try to get rid of it?
Right.
First of all, you're a moron if you're teaching anybody that. You haven't really thought it through or thought deeply or thought about the function. Like, you clearly are uneducated. Charlatan.
You don't have a good enough respect for what fear's real purpose is.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're correct.
And I think mostly what we're just trying to do here is we have a lot of things that manifest themselves in unexpected ways. And really, we're just trying to understand how these things work so that way we can work with them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, we have to work with what's going on that's putting us into fight, flight, or freeze. And, mm-hmm. and all these things do that.
Yeah.
And every week in the workshop and every conversation I have with the client, back of my mind somewhere is how are we reducing the probability of tilt?
Right.
And Tilt and Tilt is Fight, Flight, or Freeze, by the way. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
How often does when I can feel the spiral of going down into that tilt. Like, I know what that feels like. And like, there's an awareness of just even that, like knowing what it feels like to start to stumble down to it. Like, that's enough sometimes to pull yourself out of it and be like, oh, wait a minute. Let's go outside for a minute. I know where this is going.
The more self-aware you are, the more you know the things that are more likely to tilt you, such as the things that come out in that personality assessment in week mm-hmm. one. Not serving your values, not doing this, like even if we're not conscious of it, when we're doing things against our values, we tend to feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When, you know, if you don't show up for your kid's baseball game, most people feel bad.
Right. Right.
Why? You didn't serve your value of family, period.
Wish somebody was relying on you and you disappointed them. Maybe I guess that boils down to family.
Yeah. So why not apply that to your trades?
Yeah.
Do you want to disappoint your kids with your trades? You know, do you want to disappoint your wife with your trades, your husband with your trades, whatever? Why not do that? And that's getting up into week two. It's kind of a fundamental piece. But again, it's learning by addition.
Right.
Add in awareness of your values intraday. Don't take away fear. A, because it's not possible. It's not possible.
Yeah.
And B, I choose to go with the things that are possible, generally speaking.
Well, Sean, I think that should give people a pretty good taste of what's coming here for this this workshop. So,
I hope so.
It says the next class starts June 22nd. What time are these? Is this going to be like a weekly meetup? Are you guys going to do this multiple times?
It is weekly on Sunday for 6 weeks. It starts at 8:30 Eastern, and it's 90-minute sessions. There's homework. You're going to have access to me for questions at any time for those 6 weeks. And hope to see you there. It is not lightweight. It's challenging. It is work, but you've put in a lot of work to get wherever you're at out there now. So like, do it on the stuff that counts for a change.
Right. Anything worth having is worth working for, right?
Yeah.
Sean, there's also one other thing that I wanted to touch on before we wrap things up, and that's the other news that we had that we've missed in the show news portion. But we are going to be launching a new podcast series together. I think I wrote them out here. We're going to be doing a series on the major trading emotions, or at least as we've identified them. So that's fear, greed, shame, anger, euphoria, and hope are the ones that we picked. If there's a lot of people enjoying this, the series, we'll add more. If you've got some thoughts or things that you want to add to that, send them to us. People who want to listen when we record, they can do that by joining Sean's private Discord, which is also free, but they have to message you, I think, in order to get an invite.
Yeah. So as of this moment of the recording, I have it set up for it's people that have either completed the workshop or worked with me one-on-one. They all have access or they can all reach out to me for access. It will be open on a broader forum. I need to figure out some kind of screening method.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to deal with all the bullshit of bots.
Thank God.
So you will have to prove you're a human. I think I'll have people sign in through Google or something like that, but we'll figure something out.
Okay. Whenever you get that figured out, I'll just add that link to the description here so people can do that on their own. Yeah. I think, though, there's nothing left to do but to wrap up. So please join me in thanking Sean Sawyer for taking time out of his busy day to chat with us. If you do want to participate in that upcoming workshop, there will be links in the show notes. You can also find it on Mr. Sawyer's Twitter, or you can just visit soundperformancepsychology.com. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode, but until that day, like, share, subscribe to all the things, and have a green week.
Thank you very much.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.